Welcome to episode 69 of the Permaculture Pimpcast, the only pimpcast on planet Earth where we discuss permaculture preparedness and practical living. How you doing, son?
Pretty good. How are you?
I'm good. This episode brought to you by Hickory Ridge Soap from twooldcrows.com.
Turn that simp into a pimp.
Bam! Get 20% off through the month of
February.
Yes, with promo code PIMPCAST20.
And I think you only got about a week left on that, so you better get to it.
You might have a little bit more than that, but you want to get it now, and you want to do like we do and stock up. I should have waited till that they had the 20% off, but your mom ordered like practically a whole case of it.
Yeah, and then Shelly threw in extra, too.
Oh, well, not going to say no to that. Always got to be clean. All right, EMP Shield, y'all, another great sponsor. $50 off with promo code PERMA. And considering what's going on in the world right now, you might seriously want to consider something like that. It's only going to get weirder as we go on, which we're going to cover part of today. Don't forget about Harvest Right freeze dryers. You can check them out down below in the description box. Oh, and by the way, I'd be remiss if I didn't also point out that on the Fountain app, you can tip a pimp. That's right. You can do it over there in the Fountain app. You can listen to all your stuff three times faster if you like. Listen to every podcast you got, but most importantly, if you feel we're worthy, go ahead and drop off some of that sat.
Yeah, and you can do that with any podcast that you listen to. If you listen to any podcast and you want to kind of support them in a way, then you can listen to them on the Fountain app and stream sats to them.
That's right. If you want to break bread, they won't fake dead. That's how it goes. All right, tip of the day. This is going to sound weird coming from a podcaster right now, but check this out, y'all. Like so many other people out there, and there's been a couple of emails that kind of called me on the carpet regarding this. And it's difficult to try to find the balance. And I'll tell you part of the reasons why. And in fact, a fair amount of today's show is going to be almost all about your Q&A, but we're going to cover the other stuff beforehand. But here's what I want to get into when it comes to a tip. Look, y'all, don't be like I have historically been. Here's how it goes. I got all these different podcasts, and whether I was out there working with my tools or working on the farm, I'm listening to negative podcast after negative podcast after negative podcast. And then before you know it, you'll wind up, it'll filter itself into, if you don't titrate this stuff also with some good or some happy or informative podcasts out there, it may affect your life. And it usually happens to me where I'm thinking I can handle this deluge of information that I get, and all day long I'm taking it in, and then you find out, okay, you're feeling off, you're maybe a little bit down. Yeah, there's some dreadful stuff going on out there, but there's also some good stuff going on too. But there's also a ton of podcasts out there that maybe self-help could be something like you're listening to right now. So be sure, and what I've been trying to get myself into the habit of is, as much time as I spend listening to a podcast that's going to drop tactical nukes of bad information on your head every single day, spend at least a little time in something that doesn't. Son, do you have that problem?
Well, yeah, but also I think you're correct in feeling empathy for the people who are suffering right now. I think there is like a righteous indignation. Like, there is a reason to be angry sometimes.
No, you're absolutely correct, but if you're not careful, it's like, you know, I was doing a little bit of work. Man, I know I'm going to have to, I'm not even eating crow on this, but I've been very critical, as you know, about all the hipsters out there that claim to be Stoics. And they always want to talk about what?
Who's Marcus Aurelius.
Yeah, not realizing that, you know what, two other Stoics were out there. One was Epa, I can't remember his name, but he was a slave, a disabled slave. And the other was the Roman Seneca. And they always talk about Marcus Aurelius because, you know what, that's what everybody else talks about. But I was kind of looking back and kind of examining some of their philosophies and stuff. And really, there's that level of stoicism, which can also be overlaid in my Christian ethic. But there's that level of stoicism that there are things you just can't do anything about.
Yeah.
Things you can't change. And even man, I can't think of the slave's name, but he was also a noted skeptic as well. The guy was a slave, and he basically, in a nutshell, I'm going to paraphrase it, but basically, and really all of them agreed on this, whether it was Seneca or Marcus Aurelius, it was that, look, man, at the end of the day, if there are things you physically cannot do, there are things you can do and things you can't do. Why spend too much time worrying about those things? And so when it comes to a lot of these podcasts, there's a lot of this information that we wouldn't even know about. But like you said, there's that empathetic, like another earthquake hit Turkey and Syria today.
Wow.
Almost as bad as the other one in a different spot on the border. And it's like, okay, you didn't get it the last time. Let us just put an exclamation point on it.
Like, you still don't want to join NATO?
Yeah, well, it's not them not wanting to join NATO. They're wanting to keep two other countries out of it. Yeah. Scandinavian countries. But, you know, the point, when you get down to brass tacks and all this, like you said, you feel empathetic. But at the same time, and yes, you have to be aware. So it's finding that balance between staying alert and staying alive and also, you know, staying sane. So, yeah. You know, there's a combination of all that. So, folks, be really mindful, especially in these days, because we do cover part of it. But that's why we moved away. We do the good news, bad news section where we give you, for every one bad news, you're going to get two good. That's how we're kind of over, you know, that's how we're kind of overpowering some of the bad, you know, because there is good stuff going on out there. And a lot of it is happening among us. That's why we enjoy talking about your, and we're going to spend time doing the Q&A.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of good times.
There's something satisfying in helping people fix their problems.
Yeah, there is that. But I'll tell you what, it never becomes less embarrassing to me when people come up to me and think that I'm somebody special.
Well, yeah.
You know, I'm not. I mean, I am not anything special. If I have any, I guess I have, like everybody else, we have our virtues, and I'm a hard worker. I detest laziness. If there's something I want to know, I don't know that I have any more intelligence than anybody else. I know that I work harder than most people, and there's a virtue in that. But yeah, I'm definitely, yes, it's always wonderful to hear, hey, you know, you helped me out on my journey. It's always, I just don't think much of myself. So I don't think I'm ever going to get to that point where I'm like, yeah, thank you. Thank you so much. You know, yeah. I'm never going to be that person. I just feel embarrassed most times when people say that. But yeah.
You're going to charge money for a greet and meet or meet and greet? Make people wait in line?
Make people wait in line. And then, no, never going to happen, man. I don't care. I mean, like Randy Travis said, you know, they asked him, "Wait, what are you going to do with all this money?" He said, "Man, I can only wear one pair of jeans at a time." And, you know, I was having a conversation with somebody the other day, son, and we even kind of mentioned it here in the Pimpcast, is honestly, I don't play the lottery, but let's just say on the off chance I did, and let's say I hit it for, let's say it's paying out $1 billion. There is not one aspect of my life I would change.
There'd be more land, more animals, just like a... maybe a bigger, a larger scale permaculture demonstration site.
Yeah, I mean, I would give away a fair piece of it, but I'll tell you what, at the end of the day, I got everything I want. That's why I don't understand. That's going right back to the skeptics, and that actually the Epicureans, as I've been doing more philosophical studies as of late, is that anything more, and I think they had it right way back when, it was like anything more than your basic needs really don't satisfy you. If you have all of your basic needs met and you're one of those people that gets off on taking the latest trip or taking the latest vacation or eating at the fanciest restaurants, all those things become, like Solomon said, they become vanity.
Yeah.
And I think after a while, if those are the things you find important, to me, it doesn't, man. You can ask your mom how excited I got this morning while you were there when we let the sheep out on new ground.
Yeah. I saw him climbing on that, that wood pile over there, there was one just standing there with its front legs up on the stump, just all proud.
I get joy in that. That's why I never, somebody says, hey, I got a new truck or a new car. I'm like, well, okay, I hope you like those payments. I mean, there's no joy I get out of any of that stuff. I mean, some of it may be neat. Maybe I'm just wired weird, man. I don't know. But if I were offered the whole, there is nothing would, okay, admittedly, okay, I might go ahead and get a UTV.
Well, yeah,
I'd get definitely. That and maybe, you know, maybe a better vehicle or two,
a Traco.
I'm not sure. Yeah. It wouldn't
you know
be
how many
much.
Swales we could install if we had a Traco done.
Yeah. But I remember years ago, back when I used to watch TV, they had this thing, Curse of the Lottery, man. These people go out there, win the lottery, and they spend it on bubble gum, and then they're worse than they were,
yep,
you know, just 3 years prior or 5 years, whatever that number was. But yeah. Sorry, I didn't mean to go so sideways there. So let's just drift on into the farm news, son. Well, your mom's been down there seeding that greenhouse.
Yeah. Yep, it's getting about that time now. I checked the comfrey in the high tunnel. It's not ready yet.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Oh, you pulled some up?
No, I mean, I was just kind of seeing if any was popping up. It seems like they're popping up faster and sooner outside than they are actually in the high tunnel.
Well, everybody and a great grandmother right now wants some.
Mm-hmm.
And folks, we're hoping to have some by the end of March, maybe sooner with it. I mean, with this weather, I think they're setting us up for the old rope-a-dope. Right now, they got everybody thinking, oh, this weather's great. I'm looking at the forecast. Every time you do that, then out of nowhere, they'll spray like crazy. And then, bam, we get some weird storm.
Yep.
So I'm seeing things budding out, and I'm like, good night, man. I know this is middle of February.
I don't even know if some of our trees have had, like, enough chill hours yet. For
the apples, definitely. Some of those apples, no.
Yeah. Maybe some of the pears.
Well, I'm not too concerned about it because a great many of those, I wasn't going to let the fruit grow on them anyway. Right. I mean, so if they don't fruit this year, that's fine with me. But we do have the technology. If when the buds start coming out and everything, there's some old school tricks out there that we'll bring to bear when it matters. But
yeah,
we're going to see. And then also, we have a lot of experiments going down there, how's it going to do around the pond,
Yep. We're also doing white clover in the high tunnel right now. Mom's doing white clover in the high tunnel right now just to increase the, like, the readiness, because everything's like getting warmer earlier.
Yeah.
So the bees are kind of flying around on some of these days and they're not really finding anything because not everything's adjusted just yet. So mom has been seeding white clover down in the high tunnel.
Well, bees are going to love that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So speaking of bees, what I was actually going to do was, we got to move those guys.
Yeah, we do.
Because where they're located right now is essentially going to be the site of the Earthship when we commence to build it.
Yeah.
So we're going to have to evict those guys out of there. I think it's going to be a really good, we got to do that transition, I think, sooner rather than later. And I want to make sure I set it up on a higher pedestal than what they're currently on. Like what Ben and Denise have down there.
We also need to do it like a couple weeks before we start excavating, because those Texas bees are not going to move easily. They're not going to be happy about the move.
Man, we're going to have to close those guys up, man, because that is one nasty set of bees, y'all. But they are quite prolific when it comes to honey.
They don't get pests.
No. It's like, oh, Mike, you want to come up in here? Yeah. I got something for you.
I got bored. Come on up here.
Yeah, we really ought to go ahead and split those guys. But we haven't really done any of that before. Just capture the swarms is what we've been doing.
Yep.
And it's worked out well for us. We came in with four hives. Now we got, I don't know, nine?
Something like that. It's kind of hard to keep track because the swarms are so flighty.
Yeah, and we got to get ready for those too. Well, we got the pigs on the side of the mountain, and we're still trying to find that window where we can take care of them. The first order of business is getting this bull out of here. We're going to take him over to Ben and Denise's house at Renewed Homestead, and we're going to do exclusively sheep. And folks, what we're gearing ourselves up for is that when we finally kick this Earthship off, we have to be able to be in, first of all, we got all the meat in the freezer we could possibly do, and then we got to give some away. We got two pigs we have to give away, and of course, we're already doing that. So we're going to stick, basically, when we get to working on this Earthship, it's going to be basically chickens and pigs when we need them, and sheep.
Yep.
And the sheep are basically going to be doing, it's the meat that we love most. I mean, I'd take sheep any day over beef.
Yeah, those lamb burgers you made, was it last night? They're off the hook.
Yeah, the only thing is I messed up when I made that grind. I need to grind them a little bit tighter.
Yeah.
It was a little chewy in some of those areas because I put it on a burger grind when I shouldn't have. And some of that sinew got caught up in there, but hey, won't make that mistake next time. I'll have to bust a grinder back out and get that done.
Yeah.
All right, so what else? I mean, what else you got going on there? How's it going with your 75 hard?
75 hard's good. I'm on day, I think, 39. After we record this podcast, I just need to read 10 pages, and then we're good to go for today.
Good. Yeah. You're off and running, man. Folks, I mean, also, it's one of those things that around here, it's like a full court press. Everybody feels overwhelmed around here in terms of all the things we're trying to get done. It's not only personal development, but your mom, she's, driving through this course. She's looking for a microscope. I'm doing my end of things. It's all exciting, and we're making new relationships and new friends. And, you and I are going to have a pretty big interview tomorrow, which we won't tell anybody about. We're going to be interviewed by another well-known podcaster. And we'll let you know when that happens. But, you know, there's a lot on the plate right now. And then also we're looking to do some different series within YouTube. And we're trying to make a lot of sense of a lot of that. So we are just up to our eyeballs. Everybody, to a certain extent, feels overwhelmed. But I will tell you, when we were up there visiting Seth Holthouse, you know what you find out? I mean, every time you go somewhere with highly, highly productive people, that they're, you think that you're the only one this busy and you don't know. And if you feel like a pig on roller skates, you find out that you're not the only one.
Yeah. Yeah. And it seems like the busiest people are always the ones that are able to fit something extra in. Yeah. If that makes sense.
Yeah. When you really, really, really have to, like there was a couple of important calls I was going to have today. You know, those didn't work out. You and I were going to go over Ben the Ridge Ranger's house.
Yeah.
Go get his stuff. That didn't work out on his end. And, you know, those things happen. But, you know, when you get down to brass tacks, it's everybody right now, for some reason, feels absolutely overwhelmed, and we're not the only one. So, folks, if you're listening out there and you're thinking, oh, where do I start? What? How can I possibly do this? Just, I know it doesn't make you feel any better knowing that we're going through it too, but everybody is right now, especially when most people feel like they're in a full court press to get on top of what's coming.
Hello, this is Pastor Lon, Homesteading Pastor. The Bible says in 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 14, if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. Turning away from God brings devastating consequences. We as a nation have literally turned our backs on God. We have abortion on demand. We embrace homosexuality. We redefine God's definition of marriage. We reward laziness. We punish the working class. We embrace evil. We shun righteousness. We worship idol gods, and we curse God. No wonder our nation is in the shape it's in today. But if we will call upon Him, humble ourselves, pray, seek Him, turn back to Him, then will He hear us, forgive us, and heal our land.
Wow, he hit them all right there.
Yeah. You know what I love about Pastor Lon at these segments is that he always starts it off by saying, the Bible says,
yes.
Not what I think this Bible says. It's the Bible says, and then
continues. He gets right into it, and he quoted one of my favorite verses. But good night, man. I mean, speaking of which, I'd like you, it's kind of an audible I'm calling here. You know, Pastor Lon, he always, whatever he says, it always rings true to what's going on in my life. But when I hear what he was saying there, you know, when he's bringing up that verse in Chronicles, 2 Chronicles, and talks about if my people who are called by my name, and then I immediately thought of that Asbury thing that's going on right now.
Yeah.
Now, you were at church yesterday. I almost want to get your pastor on and talk about, do you want to give a brief synopsis of what?
I don't know if the pastor made the connection.
Yeah, but tell him the connection you made.
Okay, so here's what happened at church yesterday. We went to church, everything was normal, we had worship, and then we went into the sermon, and then I don't know. The Holy Spirit filled the room, and the pastor just said, if you want to stay, you can stay. And like it just, he had more to say, but he ran out of time, and everybody kind of stood there silent for almost 30 minutes. And then he realized, like, all right, very few people are leaving. I'm going to go up here and finish what I was going to say. And what he was going to say, and keep in mind, at the beginning of that, I looked over at Emily and was like, all right, you ready to go? Like that. And then she said, she like nodded saying, yeah, we can go. And then all of a sudden I have this feeling like, nope, can't go yet. So we didn't leave. And then after about 30 minutes or so, the pastor comes up to the stage and then talks about the timeline of recent revivals. And he starts back a little bit before 1776. And what I made so there's revivals before, during, and after the Revolutionary War, like within that type group. There's revivals, like large revivals before, during, and after the Civil War. There's revivals before, during, and after World War II, World War I, World War II. There were very big revivals like around the 70s and 90s. And now we're going through right now.
Or appears to be, yeah.
Yeah. So what seems to be happening is that there are clusters of revivals around the like around each fourth turning. I don't know what that means, but I think it almost guarantees that we're going to war.
But
for one,
that's your observation, right?
Right.
The fourth turning, but the pastor himself didn't say that.
No, he didn't come to the conclusion, or I don't even know if he knows what the fourth turning is or anything like that. He didn't come to the conclusion, but it immediately stood out to me when he started listing the dates of these major revivals and these clusters of revivals.
You being aware of it. Yeah. So folks, what he's getting at in a nutshell is that his pastor made him make the parallel. This is why you want to raise autodidact, y'all. Is that the pastor basically, when he's going off saying what he's saying about this, and you felt the unction to stay, first of all, you made the correlation that, gee, everything that he's saying there is also a fourth turning for the most part.
Right.
Not every one of them, but we know Revolutionary War, we know Civil War, yeah. World War II, so on and so forth. But, so around, you're saying before, during, and after every major calamity, from your observation, that there is some sort of revival.
Right. Like almost a, and I don't know what this means. I don't know where to even go with that. It's just something
it's
that stuck out. Yeah, it's just something that stuck out yesterday. And one of you guys might know. Maybe the whole purpose of me finding this out was to say this on the podcast, and one of you guys have the answer.
Well, when you said it to me yesterday, I immediately thought, good night. I mean, as you were saying it to me, I didn't realize your pastor didn't at the time. You told me later, but I didn't realize that he hadn't made that correlation with a fourth turning.
Right.
And folks, what we mean by a fourth turning, there's a book by Strauss and Howe called very much The Fourth Turning. The whole idea of it being that, you know, well, we've been down it before. So in recent episodes, we've talked about it. You might be able to do some internet search and find out and get some. I know Tony Robbins did one with one of the authors there. Huh. And the crazy thing about the fourth turning is that the good guys don't always win.
No.
And even if there, well, if there were any good guys, I mean, I can definitely make a few cases why how the history books, basically who they determined to be the good guys aren't necessarily correct. All right,
well,
y'all.
Well, hold on. Even then, maybe, well, we can't completely eradicate evil on Earth, right? So maybe each fourth turning is like a purge of evil for a brief period of time. Maybe.
No.
Sometimes.
No. What through their research, it basically proves that there is going to be this conflagration. A lot of times there's going to be this upheaval. And many times it doesn't mean the good guys win.
Oh, I'm not saying we definitely win. I'm just saying that there's a possibility of purging the evil, possibly.
Yeah, and some would say the good guys, you know, in history books aren't exactly accurate. All right, y'all, we're going to get into the bad news, good news section. Had to take that little side road there because I thought it was important. I thought you might enjoy that. Well, at least maybe not enjoy it, but at least observe it. I mean, find it interesting. All right, well, here's another thing. Here's the bad news part, and remember, we will always overlay it with good. Global food giant issues grim warning. Now, Nestle expects prices on staple items to keep on rising through 2023. Now, I don't know if anybody else, I mean, I go to the grocery store, you know, intermittently, you know, we got to get things from time to time. And I pay attention to certain things. Like, there's certain things I like to get, like those organic, what do you call them chips?
I don't know what you're talking about.
Those tortilla chips.
Oh, those Garden of Eden.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Those organic
ones. Those blue ones.
Man, I don't care what they say the prices are, but the things that I regularly get, man, they're telling me giant increased prices by 8.2% last year. Poppycock. I ain't buying that at all, man. I'm sitting here looking with my own two eyes. I'm seeing half in the bag. Man, I about come unglued. You know them corn chips I like, the organic type. Man, I remember because I've been buying them things for years, y'all. I'm talking not the Fritos, but they're the organic version of Fritos. And they taste better. They just taste absolutely better.
Yeah.
Go over there, pick up next time you go to the grocery store, go down there and pick up one of them bags and tell me if they're, not only is the bag smaller, there's half as much in the smaller bag.
Wow.
So you done raised the prices and then cut half as much as in there. So I don't know about anybody else, but man, this inflation in some cases is looking like 100%.
Yeah.
Depending on, you know.
If you include the shrinkflation as well.
Well, that's what nobody ever does. Nobody ever wants to talk about that part.
Yeah.
So, okay, so we'll just jump on into the good news. Folks, the only reason I pointed that out is to say those things are what we're trying to solve the problems of. This is why I'm reaching out to any and everybody in the podcast or YouTube world, because there are things that we are equipped in a very unique way to address, like how to raise your meat for free. That's been our claim to fame since we started this whole YouTube channel.
Yeah, or how to scrounge for food.
Yes, how to scrounge and feed your animals for free. Now, ultimately, the goal for everybody ought to be to get to Sean and Beth Doherty, but you got to have a starting point. So maybe you start off working with these restaurants and then you work your way, as we are, into the Sean and Beth Doherty model. But we're going to have to change things up because I'm not going to be milking no cows.
Emily wants to. She wants to milk a cow. Now, she doesn't understand. She's never done it. She's milked a goat once. She hasn't milked a cow every single day multiple times. But
yeah. And so you're married to it in a big kind of way. And plus, I just don't know that we can put up with that right now.
Right.
All right, so I had some other good news sections in here, and I don't know what happened to him.
I have some good news.
All right.
Speaking of like Mike Adams and Natural News and stuff, he announced today that he will be able to, using his mass spectrometers, he will be able to test for dioxins in food. So like, okay.
Yeah,
so the reason that makes sense or is important is because of everything going on in Ohio right now, that getting dumped in the Mississippi and then sprayed onto our crops and whatnot. He's able to now test for that stuff.
Man, that's a double-edged sword, man. But I mean, he's one of the true people out there that I know would actually give an accurate account of what's going on.
Right.
Okay, so let me get into some more good news. You know, they're still pulling survivors out of that last earthquake in Syria.
Wow.
And they got a dog the other day, this little puppy, cutest little thing, and they yanked him out of there, and he's like looking at... I mean, you look at him, you're like, okay, he's like, what do you want from me? You know, this dog's like, okay, somebody got food for me? I mean, so they're still yanking people out there. So miracles can happen. You know, they got a puppy and, you know, they're still pulling some people out. Of course, they're going to be obviously well emaciated. But it does show you the human will and how tough it is to kill a lot of us sometimes. All right, well, there's this other article, too, and I don't have it in front of me. I thought I printed this thing off, but I don't have it. But I know what it was basically saying. In Idaho, they're trying to put in some legislation, whether it goes through and gets passed by the governor, we'll find out. But basically, they're trying to do away with any kind of mRNA, anything up in that state.
Good.
I mean, dude, there's been word that they're going to start shooting up the animals with it and all that kind of stuff. But, man, look, man, I know there's a lot of people that took this thing and they don't want to believe it is what it is, but I'm hopeful and prayerfully there's going to be some solutions out there to chelate this crap out of people.
Yep.
And hopefully I want to talk to the guy from Cardio Miracle and find out. Like I said, they're not a sponsor. They're never going to be a sponsor. I'm not going to ask them to be a sponsor. I want to get them on there and find out how pilots are using this stuff or the people that have had jab remorse. How these people are going to wind up being able to use some of this stuff to maybe not get it out of them, but at least mitigate some of the problems that are going on as a result of having taken it. But man, that's good news, at least to me, in Ohio or Idaho. Yeah, Ohio's got different problems right now. Speaking of those dioxins, huh? Man, don't even get me started, man. That's what they did in Vietnam, Agent Orange, the whole nine yards. All right, y'all, we're going to go ahead and go to break. When we come back, we're going to spend the rest of it doing Q&A. But I could feel something was wrong. I didn't live to my potential. Something had sucked me in so long, but now I see it all. That was Lavi Frost. I'm not sure how to, it's either Lavi or Lavi, and it's called Bad Habit. And she was a viewer that sent in her music. Well,
right?
Actually, it was her husband.
Oh.
I was actually binge watching her stuff on the YouTube channel they sent when they heard us talk about how we're going to have to there were several people, and we're going to have another person to send in some music.
Yeah.
We were talking last week about how we're going to take this show on the road to YouTube and some other platforms out there. And one of the things we were running into was like, okay, what do we do for music? It can't be copywritten.
Yeah.
So that's going to be a problem. Well, some people sent this in. I wish I could pronounce your name. It begins with an M, and I'm not quite sure. I don't want to say it and then mess it up, but good night, man.
Well, we'll link it down in the description.
They sent this, and it was from a YouTube channel of theirs, and they say it's copywritten, but it's by them.
Yeah.
And I was like, man, this girl has a fantastic voice. I love this music. This is my kind of music.
Yeah.
I'm like, dude, keep them coming, man. I mean, y'all got some more stuff. And then I was on there checking out some of their, there was this other one where they're sitting in like an apartment. I mean, beautiful music, at least to me.
Yeah. Yeah. I really like that one. I mean, like, that's free promotion too. I mean, you guys can promote your music on here. You know what I mean?
I didn't even think about that, but, hey man, that's always going to be a good thing. So what do you got? Hey y'all, today it's going to be a little bit different. I didn't do the Q&A last time. I kind of went off the deep end. yeah. Well, I mean,
it was justified.
Well, I did. I mean, I was aggravated with what's going on in this world. And I'll be honest with you, man. I was like, man, I had enough. And, that, you know, that's kind of what I felt. So
I got one from Aeon on, the Fountain app. Thanks for all you do. Thank you. I appreciate that. That was his whole
that
statement.
That was it?
Yep. You just said, thank you for all you do.
For all you do. I mean, and everybody else out there. I mean, I could sit here and I could have this podcast and talk to myself. But man, I'll tell you what, it's your interaction. And by the way, we need to get back to that phone number thing we got going on too.
Yeah, I've got one ready. Okay. If you want to listen to it.
Well, let's go ahead and get to it then. Okay. Have you got it handy?
Yep, it's right here. This is from Cindy Dame.
Hello, this is Cindy Dame. This doesn't have to be on the podcast, but just food for thought. If the government needed to explain away the rapture, other than being the rapture, wouldn't UFOs be a good way to do that? That they took certain people that didn't agree with everything that they thought was good, or what they thought we should think. Anyway, just maybe thought I'd put that in y'all's ear. All right, bye.
Always love hearing from Cindy. Always, she's one of those names. She's got one of those names that it sounds like a Hollywood starlet, you know?
Right, yeah.
You don't forget her name.
No.
And the way it's spelled, it's like, I don't know, it's just one of those names that you just don't forget.
It's like it sounds right. Like Cindy Dame, that's the perfect first and last name to go together.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
She sounds like it sounds like an executive of some major corporation, you know? Yeah. You're going in to see Cindy Dame, and boy, she's about to deal with you, nephew. But regarding her point, as far as these UFOs and a rapture, depending on where you come down on that sort of thing, whether, you know, there's arguments out there, and there's bitter arguments over whether there's a pre, mid, or post-tribulation rapture. There's even an argument as to whether or not there is even a rapture, depending on where you come down on that. And so I won't get into that, but there's at least four camps of that sort of thing that I'm aware of. And I won't tell you where I come down on that if anybody's curious. I mean, maybe I will in private conversation.
But if it is the rapture, would it matter what they blamed it on?
Well, no, I mean, it could be everybody disappears. I've heard that argument before by someone else. I think it was a theologian years ago, that one of the explanations that they would give if a lot of people just came up missing would be, oh, aliens zapped him up. Okay, let's move on with Operation Blue Beam. That's been one of the theories. And I don't know that I necessarily am in, I know that I'm definitely not in that camp. I think, personally, the UFO thing, I think it's going to go down as just like Dr. Carol Rosen said. She was the number two for Wernher von Braun. And what I generally think, and of course, nobody really knows, but my suspicion, my prevailing thought right now is that when they can't have another card to play, that's going to be the one they're going to do. Because even Reagan talked about it at the UN years ago, like, hey, and numerous other presidents and world leaders have as well, that, hey, when we get to a point where if we had a unified threat, then we would all come together.
Yep.
And so that's kind of how I wonder how it's going to go down.
And the phone number for the voicemail line is 828-380-4419.
Thank you.
828-380-4419.
Thanks, Cindy.
Yeah, thank you.
All right, I got one from Clint. He says, can I use finished compost as a nitrogen source in my 18-day method?
Finished compost as a nitrogen source? No, you would need more of a nitrogen source.
It depends on how bad, how incomplete that previous one was, too.
Oh, is that what it was?
No, he didn't specify.
Well, okay, if you're, that does matter. But generally, no, if it's like complete finished compost, you're not going to be able to, it's not going to be enough nitrogen to offset the carbon in your 18-day compost
pile. But tell them
what
you can use it for.
But yeah, it's awesome for inoculating microbial life in your new compost pile. Every time we make a new 18-day compost pile, if we have it, we add finished, like a scoop of finished compost to it.
And we
you
keep
can add more.
It. Like even in the chicken tractor on steroids, they kind of get integrated anyway.
Yeah.
To a certain degree, because you don't know which came from which pile and which came from another.
Yeah.
So it's less necessary in a system like that because they do kind of cross-pollinate, so to speak.
And there's no shortage of bacteria.
No. There's definitely not that. The chickens are dragging it all over. But yeah, generally, like you said, it's really good to kick off things.
I got another one from AA on. Any ideas? Hey, also, if that's a word, show me how to pronounce that if you don't mind. Any ideas or suggestions for small urban lot on hill where I am? Having water runoff issues in Georgia due to so much rain. It is causing gullies and washing out areas on the hill.
Well, it's hard to say without actually seeing it, but I will say that in a situation like that, depending on your slope and depending on your topography, I would consider, remember, you got energy coming into your property. That could be sunlight. That could be air or wind. That could also be rain. Well, what can you do with it? You can stop it for a moment. You can, and you're not really going to stop it. You're only going to capture it for a moment. You can deflect it, and you can even amplify it. But in your case where it seems to be a problem without having seen it, maybe capturing a deflection might be something you might want to consider.
Yeah, it kind of depends on where you are in that scenario. At what point, it's like if you're on a small urban lot, you might be able to dig like a micro swell depending on the steepness of the slope of your hill. You might have to do a terrace. I mean, even a small French drain or even like a diversion ditch might make sense into a pond that would slow down the water and then you could have it overflow into something else.
But it's really critical for us to be able to see something like that to identify it. I mean,
those
it's
are just
hard.
Some ideas to research.
Yeah, but actually look into it. Yeah, I mean, swales. And like you said, all those, take the dog to the hunt that you need.
Yep. Maybe hit up Eric Sider for a consultation.
There you go. You got something?
Yeah, I just went. Did you want to go?
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay.
All right, I'll go ahead and go then. Anna, she says, love the Pimpcast. You guys are awesome. Learned so much. Had heard several people ask about where to get fruit trees. I've done a lot of research on this stuff. Anyway, some of the ones she pointed out here was Trees of Antiquity, lots of heritage organic fruit, and that's in California. And that's treesofantiquity.com. Rain Tree Nursery, and that's in Oregon. 39th Parallel Nursery in Kansas. And that's, you can find that at .com. Burnt Ridge Nursery, and that's burntridgenursery.com. Hartman's Plant Company. And then the other one, North American Scion Exchange. Man, these are some really great resources she put out there.
Yeah, that is. Usually what we recommend is try to find a nursery that's closest to you at first. And then if you want to expand outside of that, I mean, after you get some trees planted and experiment, that's a good idea too.
It's also a good place for your R&D. So let's say they're using semi-dwarf rootstock because it's the best thing that works in your area. Don't go using dwarf.
Yeah.
I mean, there can be, you know.
You can, but don't do it. Like, stick to the recipe at first.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Start with what, find out what they're using because you can do a lot of your R&D in a place like that. Those sound like some really awesome resources. I'm going to leave that one bookmarked.
One cool place is a Tie Tie Nursery because you can set in your zone and it'll show you which trees are suggested for your zone.
I wonder if they got a bunch of different places around.
They might. This one's from Eric Sider. One thing to keep in mind was the intention behind prioritizing a technique or methodology. This is in reference to the dogmatism episode. The intention behind prioritizing a technique or methodology. A certain technique may not be the best, but it may be the best for most people, particularly when they are just getting started. You are going to use different techniques when you are running an education center versus a private farm. I'm pretty sure I remember hearing Bill Mollison say making compost was a waste of energy when you can just bury the same components directly in the garden.
I have. David the Good does a lot of that very thing.
Yeah, he does.
Exactly. That goes right back to taking the right dog to the hunt. And speaking of taking the right dog to the hunt, remember, if you need the ball in this t-shirts out there, that's all we wear for the most part. Is that, if you
got, I've got one on right now.
You got one on, and this is rare that I don't have one on right now. I got a different one on.
Yeah, that shirt, I get the second most compliments on.
Why don't you tell them what it reads? Because I can't see it on myself.
Faith in government defies both history and reason.
Bam.
And that was sent by a mysterious viewer.
No, there was a guy. We met him at one of the festivals, and he just sent this thing. I wish I could give him attribution, but yeah, I don't recall.
We've told him before to like send in like an email or something to let us know.
Yeah, so we got one from Melanie. Says, hi, Billy. What did I just do here?
I got one in the meantime.
I got it.
Okay.
Yeah. Hi, Billy. We love and appreciate the videos. We live in Oxford, Michigan, and have a small farm. With the latest news of the chemical train explosion, I was wondering if there are any posts coming about how to clean your land and protect the house, etc., from this type of warfare. Perhaps there are books you could recommend. I believe I need to broaden my knowledge. That's a very wise question. And sadly, I can give you some resources, but I'll be honest with you. In the pantheon of all the things I've prepared for, I'll put it this way, y'all. I've always said, if you prepare for an EMP, then you're pretty much prepared for everything else.
EMP plus a gas mask.
Yeah. Which is, okay. So if you got an EMP and nuclear fired powerhouses all go down simultaneously and the generator backups go up, guess what? You got Fukushima everywhere.
Yep.
Not to mention that so many of these nuclear powerhouses are right on fault lines. If you doubt me, go look for yourself. But when it comes to stuff like this, Mark Shepard's book, he covers a lot of that too, where let's say, not anywhere near to this. I'll put it this way. The dioxins are what we're dealing with, okay? You know what Agent Orange was? Everybody does or should. They used it all over Vietnam, Cambodia, Laos, and it was basically dioxins. Now, the allowable amount that I read is if you were to take a bear aspirin, you would have to cut it into 32 million pieces, and one of those pieces is all you can have for a lifetime.
Wow.
And that's what they got. I mean, who even knows the concentrations that are floating up over a place like that? In all honesty, I really don't know. This is one of many things I'm sure I have not really given a whole lot of brain thought into.
Well, I've kind of been thinking about it in the back of my mind subconsciously. There's two things that I have no idea if they work, but it's the first two things that have popped into my head.
I wonder if it's the same as me.
Okay. The first one was that orgonite.
Orgone.
Orgone. Is that it?
Yeah.
Orgone. And then that second was the air filter suck guy.
I thought that too. And then I was also thinking, okay, I remember Dr. Elaine Ingham was given a similar question to that. And she was asked, how would you go about fixing it? And she was like, compost, compost, compost. And then we also know that there have been mycologists. Paul Stamets may have been one of them that went over to places like in areas of Russia, like around Chernobyl. Like
Chernobyl, yeah.
Yeah, where they've actually mitigated, where that we got mushrooms out there that have absolutely cleaned that place up.
There's mushrooms that'll eat plastic.
Yes. So we know that if given enough time, it was like we were talking about that Gulf oil spill. If they'd have just let the thing go, capped it off clearly.
Yeah.
And not try to bury it with Corex or anything else. And believe me, y'all, I'm going to hopefully tomorrow have a video, a consummate video about some of this stuff. We'll see if we can actually get it done. I think we can. But point being is that when you're dealing with things like dioxins, I'm wondering, okay, is there things like activated charcoal? Are there other things that can chelate this junk out of you? I'm sure there's something out there. I just don't know what it is. And I'm going to be looking. The second I find out, believe me, I'm going to let you know.
Oh, yeah. We're definitely trying to find a solution to this.
Yeah.
I got one from Hunters F770. He said, I think the average derailment is like 2 to 3 per day. Not like boom, crash, smoke, death, and destruction every time, but yeah. Well, hold on. How does the most, okay, did it, like, we've had trains for a very long time. Like, it's been the our largest and longest and oldest source of infrastructure in the United States, right? How are we still screwing that up? They're on tracks.
Yeah, but we got one of the most messed up train systems in the world, most antiquated train systems in the world. I remember, and we kind of briefly covered it the last time when I was doing work at BNSF as an electrician. The thing that gets me is if this stuff, you know what the MSDS is on this stuff.
Yep.
The material safety data sheets, for those that don't know, it is in, you name it, they got an MSDS for it. And if this stuff had any propensity of doing what they have it doing, why wasn't it being treated like nitroglycerin?
Yeah. Why would you have a wheel, an axle on fire for 20 miles?
There's too much of this that I don't buy. And then honestly, when you go back and look at all these different movies that were made about these things that later become disasters, whether it's the Gulf oil spill, whether it's this thing, all these other things, man, it's almost like the powers that shouldn't be are kind of throwing this stuff back in our face. And
this could also just be one huge distraction.
It could.
Because, okay, so if there's 2 to 3 derailments every day, why are we just now hearing about, like, these major derailments?
And this one here, 2 weeks late.
Yeah.
So I wonder, there's been that part of my mind, too, that maybe this thing isn't what they say it is. Maybe it is. I'm not going to assume that they're telling me the truth. Yeah. I mean, the fact that the mainstream media is backing away from this thing is giving me pause, and it should everybody else. Okay, we got one from April here. Is there a way of ordering the boning knives you gave a shout-out to in the first episode?
There will be soon.
Yeah, William's working on that right now.
Yep.
Yeah, we get a lot of questions regarding what we use for knives and stuff like that. And, you know, we've given you options. We're going to try to give you inexpensive but valuable options in terms of knives and the ones you use. And then we're going to hopefully be able to offer them at a discount.
I think I found some ones that are for a very, very good price, that are very good steel and, like, very good handles. I think we're going to be able to hook you guys up. I got another one from, well, I'm going to throw these both in right quick because they're both kind of the same thing. Jen and Indy, hashtag tip a pimp, and po' boy, hashtag tip a pimp for another great episode. And that was in regards to becoming your own FEMA.
All right. Well, I know I kind of went off the deep end on some of that. Some people didn't like it. Some did. But y'all, I mean, I will say, I mean, regardless of where you come down in this pimp cast, I can honestly say it's authentic. I mean, we don't prepare much. I mean, only time we're really using any kind of aids is when I'm sitting here reading your questions.
Well,
I mean, it's really kind of, I want it to be impromptu. I want it to be almost like regular terrestrial radio. I didn't want any breaks. I didn't want any editing. In fact, we just don't have time for those things. So had to treat it like live radio. So we got one from Alan. Heard a lot from Alan over the, you know, done a lot of business with him too. Wonderful guy. Bless you guys. Just listen to Monday's podcast to take all those scraps of comfort you could spare. Useful to me and helping a friend in Tennessee. I want to grow it like kudzu. He wants to grow comfort like kudzu. Yeah, I'm right there with you. Like the episode with Joel, but the young man needs to learn how to read Hebrew narrative. Okay. Yeah, there's more here, but we got a lot to get to. Well, thanks as always, Alan. We're wanting to absolutely, if I can get some of those cuttings when they come around, I'll try to remember all that. Truth of it is, I want comfort. I want to be able to put us out of business. I mean that. I really want us to go out of business.
Yeah.
Where I can't possibly sell comfrey because every single farm, it's like, oh, I got comfrey for sale. And they're like, well, that's like selling me grass, homie.
Yeah.
That's exactly where I want to be.
I got one from Sovereign Citizen. Hey guys, I'm an aviation professional pilot and mechanic. I haven't done any of my own research on geoengineering or chemtrails, but I'm open-minded about the subject. Can you guys do a show laying out some evidence on why you believe or know this is happening? I've been in the prepper lifestyle for quite a few years now, but you guys, along with quite a few influences in the permaculture community, have inspired me to take that to the next level. Keep it up. Hashtag tip a pimp.
Well, that sounds like a really wise person because he demonstrates right there that even though he may not have knowledge on a particular subject, he doesn't immediately poo-poo. He's saying, okay, give me the who, what, where, when, why, and how.
Yeah.
That's what he's saying.
Yeah.
And you know what? We'll probably have to do that. But right off the bat, I would highly suggest you go check out the, there is a documentary out there. Of course, they have What in the World Are They Spraying? Why in the World Are They Spraying? And then the latest one from the same outfit is called The Dimming. If you Google, or I hate to, Google is not a verb. If you search engine The Dimming documentary, it should take you right to it. And I think it provides unimpeachable evidence. But we'll see in the future if we can't get Dame Wigington on here.
That'd be cool.
Because that's what we're going to try to do in some of our Wednesday. We're going to use Wednesdays, hopefully, as a means to do,
like bonus episodes.
Yeah, bonus episodes, but it may be something. We're going to try to primarily stick it to something surrounding permaculture, preparedness, and practical living. And sometimes it may be on the wild side, too. All right, so we got one from Colleen. Hi, Billy and Michelle. Just planted. Okay, well, this one was probably from the YouTube. I just planted a bare root fruit trees following your permaculture methods. Well, that's awesome. Before we apply the bone sauce, we'd like to know if you would recommend pruning. I think you may call it topping. I think in her case, you might mean pollard.
Pollarding.
Pollarding the tree right away. The man at every nursery said we should remove the top third of a six foot bare root tree. Yeah, that's about right. It depends on the bare root and the structure. But yeah, I would absolutely agree with that. That if you're going to go ahead, if it's a brand new bare root tree, the best time that we find to put them in is always going to be in the fall.
Yep.
Even absolutely. In the winter, depending on where you are. Now, you may have to go with the spring. But if you do go with the spring, you're going to have to baby it a little bit more. But whereas in the fall and winter, it's putting down some serious roots. But yeah, I would typically do that. And wherever you cut it, wherever you prune that thing back, make sure you don't apply bone sauce in that area. You don't want bone sauce on open wounds if you can possibly help it. And you definitely want to try it. You can do it when the leaves are on it, but it's just more difficult.
So I would recommend maybe putting on the bone sauce and then pruning then.
Well, no, because you don't want to prune it and then get it in there. It won't kill the tree, but it's definitely going to be uncomfortable at that area. So yeah, just if you're going to, because you're pruning the top third, deer are only going to browse like 5 feet high. Typically.
Yeah, what if it's like a 4 foot bare root?
Well, yeah, in that case, I mean, you still can't put it at the very top. Believe me, this stuff is so repulsive to them. They're not going to come in and eat that 1 inch that you left unbare at the top.
But, yeah.
You know, when it is bare and you don't have anything on it, you can always go all the way through. All right, more when we get back in a minute, y'all.
That was John Armstrong Music, and you can find him on Spotify. I mean, he was a listener that had sent in his music, and he gave us like free use of it, basically. Yeah. But you can find all his music on Spotify. Armstrong, J-O-N.
He's out of Australia.
Yeah, New South Wales.
There you go. Yeah. Gotta love it. Hey, thanks That's so awesome. Much for the musical submissions, y'all. Keep them coming. We're definitely... You know, we'll try to definitely put on as many as we possibly can.
You know what I just realized? That the Pimp Cast might be the only homesteading, farming type, like, podcast that's getting in music from their viewers that ain't country. We got a wide array
of
music coming in. We got Joel sending music. We got Lavi sending music, or her husband sending music. We got John Armstrong sending music, and they're all kinds of genres.
You know, and the cool thing, I love country. I love old school country. This new country stuff they got going out now, I'm not a big fan of, but
yeah.
I definitely love that old school stuff. In fact, there's a guy that keeps writing all the time. He says, hey, play some more of that David Allen Coe. I love country, but, definitely not the new stuff. All right. We got one from Brent. He's a, Matthews Metalworks. Yeah. That's the name of his business, or at least the one he's part of. He's also a, union iron worker. Craziest people on the planet. Iron workers and bull riders.
I saw a video of this old school iron worker. Man, he was being lazy with this climb up this tower. Oh, my goodness. I instantly got sweaty.
Well, now they have them all dressed up. But back in the day when I first got in the trade, man, you would see those guys. I mean, I thought they were the craziest people on the planet. These days, it's much safer, I think. I mean, they got them all hooked up. And back then, they didn't have anything on. So anyway, he's talking about the fact that, you know, they homeschool their children. Awesome. I would not put, if you can avoid it, y'all, keep your kids out of these public indoctrination centers. And he's out there in the garden space, have two flocks of layers on deep bedding and producing compost. And the comfrey we purchased from you last year is doing great in our fruit tree guilds. Keep up the Pimp Cast episodes. Keep them coming, brother. God bless you and your family. Well, God bless you and yours, Brent. And always a joy to hear from everybody out there.
That's awesome.
And then he's got a follow-up on that email. And he's basically showing me all these pictures, man. Oh, good night, man. They're spraying this crap. Basically, pictures of chemtrails. In fact, okay. If I had to pick the number one picture that people send me most, it's definitely chemtrails.
Sky, man, you're going to get flagged for something, Dad.
Yeah, it's definitely the chemtrails.
I got one from Mirlin. Good luck with your music. My brother's podcast kept getting dinged for using music he had expressed written permission to use. For fitness, check out Barbell Logic Online Coaching. I ordered some deer antler velvet from vaccinepolice.com. Hashtag pimp tipping.
Yeah, let me know how it works out for you. Like, hey, y'all, this is going to be how it's going to go on this podcast is I will not seek, because it's that important, I will not seek any collaborative deals with anybody that sells healthcare products on this show.
Well, I might check out this Barbell Logic Online Coaching.
No. Well, there's that, but I'm saying, in terms of, because I need you all to know just how serious I am about some of this stuff, that I have no partnerships with any of the people I bring on when it comes to health and supplements and stuff like that. I want you to hear it directly from them. And I may not always agree with them, but they will not even be on this show if I didn't already use it and realize that it's giving me results.
Right. Yeah, so, there's definitely results with that deer antler stuff.
Well, there's that. And then also I still need to get my eating in order. But in addition to that cardio miracle, I'm seeing results on both of them. And of course, that Eric Sider also provided I need to get that printed off, a list of how you could make that yourself.
Right.
All right. So we got one from Timo. I'm not sure which one he says. This is a question I never considered. He says, I had a question. Do you think that pheasants would work in a chicken tractor on steroid system? I'm big on native species. I can honestly say I've never given that a thought.
You would need a lot of them to move a compost pile, but you'd also need a lot of them to be full.
But I don't even know that they would work a compost pile over.
I imagine so. It's still a bird. It's still going to naturally. They're probably more inclined to forage than most chickens.
I'd be curious to know. I mean,
I'll have to ask Emily's dad, because he used to raise pheasant.
Man, you got me thinking now, bro. I almost want to know myself, but I don't know. I don't have the bandwidth to actually prove it. But if you try it, let me know, and we'll definitely give an update on it.
Yeah.
Got one from Karen. I was wondering, would comfrey survive in Zone 10? They're in Southwest Florida, and they would love to grow it. I don't think it would, unless you have it very, very shaded.
Yeah, well, not even shaded, but yeah, I think it, well, it works in the tropics, in the subtropics. And you're in where in Florida?
They're saying in Southwest Florida.
I would give it a shot. I mean, I don't see why it wouldn't work, but it just might not work as well. I mean, there's harsher climates that comfrey does work in, so I'm thinking that it might work with the amount of rain that you're probably getting.
It might, but I think down there, I would, if I did give it a shot, I wouldn't put it in open sun.
Maybe like partial sun
or experiment, because if you got like a bag of 10 from us, put them everywhere, put them in dappled sunshine, see what happens. But
yeah, bag of 10 is actually 14.
I know that typically after zone 9 it's touch and go.
Yeah, and even zone 9 is like you got to get it established.
Yeah, so you're gonna have to do some tricky stuff. But it would be worth a shot. I'd give it a shot. I would almost put it in shade just to see.
And that's just our variety of comfrey. There might be like a common comfrey around there, like a native one that might work. If you go around asking people from Knitbone and they show you that it's growing, then it might work.
We got one from Noble. He's in Noble, Oklahoma. His name is Tony. It's pretty lengthy, so I can't get to it all. But it was part of what I was discussing in the tip episode, because he kind of hit it right on the point. At least as it pertains to me. He says, I found your videos last week and I support your messages totally. I've been practicing permaculture for years here in Oklahoma. Also, it's my home state. But I didn't realize it was a movement until I saw you and Joel Salatin. There's great beauty in design, and I believe in God's design. I got to jump on down here. Let's see here. He says, in a nutshell, He was saying, ironically, Paul the Apostle, well, maybe I got a few of them, sorry, y'all. Maybe I got a few of them disappointed here, or crossed up here. He was talking about conspiracy theories are predicated upon subject. Man, there is something about the syntax of how this is written, or at least the way it's coming across.
You could also be tired, Dad.
Well, there is always that, but yeah. Usually, I wasn't tired up until now. Basically, he's saying, from what I can gather, it's like keep some balance here. And he's bringing up Mars Hill, where we live, mm-hmm. and you know how it overlays in the Bible. Of course, it does right there with Paul. And thank you so much for reaching out. Sorry, there's something up with the syntax on this thing. What tree hay? This one here is from Alex. What tree hay can I provide ducks and chickens in Texas?
Oh, tree hay for ducks and chickens. I don't know. Usually we put that back for ruminants.
Yeah, I never even tried that.
That would be, oh man, I would look for a tree leaf higher in protein.
Man, that's something Eric would probably know right off the bat, man.
He probably knows. He's probably thinking, I know five trees that'll work.
Yeah. Hey, reach out to my man, Eric Sider. Go check out his YouTube channel. He probably has an answer to that.
As far as like tree hay, I'm not sure, but you can always plant mulberries to drop, you know, berries and stuff like that for your ducks and chickens.
So we got one from Andrew. Hats off to all the work you do. God bless you. And I hope the latest episodes to wake up a lot of people. Yeah, I'm hoping it does too, my man. What you're doing is helping turn God's people into the Garden of Eden. And I don't know if we're going to get quite to that, but really, honestly, Jeff Lawton said it all. All the world's problems can be solved in a garden. It really could, as long as you don't have lunatics out there trying to destroy it.
Yeah.
I mean, we are farmers, so we're kind of going to need a planet. All right, we got one here from Kelly. I'm sorry, I don't know how to pronounce your last name. It's difficult. Last year, I bought a couple of brand new fruit trees. And so I bought your... Okay, basically, the deer wiped out her fruit trees, right? So she bought the bone sauce, and she says it saved the rest. Not even a sign of a nibble after it was applied. Thank you very much. Question is, bone sauce need to be applied yearly? Also, okay, so let me go ahead and answer that. It depends on your... In the past, if it was a mature tree, I would have told you no. I'd say apply it once. It's probably going to last the lifetime of that tree. But now what we're realizing, as the girth of that tree grows, you're probably going to need to apply it every other year for, I mean, which is impressive, even if you had to do that. Because, I mean, bars of soap, how long is that going to last? Deer will just eat around it. Or some of the other methods they got out there, you know, they last for a month or two. But depending on the growth of your trees, it seems that as it gains more mass, more girth, that you're going to have to reapply it. And I'm going to say maybe every couple of years, but it doesn't have to be a whole lot.
No, no. And even with that, we're not entirely sure you need to. We're still experimenting with it and seeing what the limits of this stuff is, really. And Dad is making it better as we speak.
Yeah, it's funny because I won't say how I found this out, but, well, yeah, I'm not going to say it. Because the recipe we have, I mean, everything we have is open source except for the bone sauce. Now, for the people that think they're going to take me to task on that, I don't hear you asking for Coca-Cola's recipe and getting upset because they don't give it to you. Look, there's been thousands of dollars and time put into this to make this stuff right. And I've even streamlined it even more. Not in terms of, there's no way to make this stuff faster. You can't rush it. If you do, you're going to burn it up. And if you go too slow, it ain't going to make it right. It's got to be perfect or it will not be used. But we're finding out other all natural things that we add to it that even make it more powerful. So, and then I'm constantly improving this stuff all the time. It's like, this is my baby. And I've taken, you know, thank God for Sepp Holzer for making the whole world aware of it.
Yeah.
And we've taken it and kicked it up to a level that's probably several deviations beyond what he even imagined.
Yeah.
I'll just send him a jar and see what he thinks of it.
Yeah.
Elisha. Okay. Make sure your network, broadband, YouTube channel, podcast lines are ready for a surge. Last 5 minutes of our recent podcast was a shout out to the Pimpcast. And that was from Elisha. We basically gave him a shout out in the last one. Well, thank you so much, Elisha. Wow. And
thank you.
Yeah, hopefully folks have checked out your, right now, firearms training, man, that's legit right now. Everybody needs to be thinking about getting trained up on that.
Yeah, having a gun isn't good enough. You have to know how to use it.
Absolutely. All right, got one from Jessica. When do you expect to be harvesting comfrey again? Yeah, I'm starting my first guilds this spring. Awesome. On the guilds, that's exactly what I'm talking about.
We'll have, or hopefully we'll have comfrey ready by the end of March. That's what we're shooting for.
We're hoping that's going to be, I'm hoping that's exactly what's going to go out. All right, Jay, hope this finds you well. That's what he's saying. He's just outside of Atlanta. And anyhow, they're doing some good things down there. Jay, sorry, I can't get to all of it right now. We're coming near to the end of it. Keith, awesome podcast on episode 68, Red Pilled. Also got to say, I'm very proud that you raised a smart son. He says some really awesome, cool things about you, man. Oh, and now Ohio, who the hell authorized the burning of vinyl chloride? Yeah. Or dioxins. You can look at it the same exact way.
Yeah.
Man, had a whole lot of response from episode 68. Can't be able to get to it all, but Robert, hey, it's, you know, in a nutshell, Robert, I want to thank you for reaching out. I can't get to all of it, but he's like basically saying titrate the what do you call that? The conspiracies and stuff. But he says conspiracy theory. I prefer to say just conspiracies. There's another guy here saying check out fishermandirect.com, and he's talking about the independent boats, and he's also talking about lingcod on the that was one of the things we caught over in Canada.
Yeah,
off the hook. And man, around, man, they were making fish and chips out of that stuff, which is exactly what he recommends. Really good stuff. All right, Austin, I've been on a tear watching you and William's videos lately. I'm incredibly inspired to implement all the things. I've been watching you guys. He's saying, you know, basically what she discovered it 20 years ago. Everybody thinks that same thing. And there's so many people that have come from, let's say, a more conservative tradition. They were kind of scared off from permaculture because so many people on the leftist tradition were kind of taking it over.
Yeah.
Well, we're taking it back. And we're not, I'm not coming from the right. I'm coming from the constitutional side. I'm not left or right or any of that stuff. If you're with the Constitution, I'm with you. And thank you so much for the kind words. And thank you for your purchase of the comfrey. Jonathan. Yeah, so Jonathan was one of the ones we've reached out to regarding the music. Nancy is asking, okay, we just ordered some bone sauce. We're putting it around our garden. Okay, when you do that around your garden, there's been a couple of different methods. We've always recommended that you put it around wooden stakes and stuff like that, or you can put out wooden string or streamers that were made out of what did we use? Mule like, tape.
Yeah, mule tape.
It was mule tape. You can find that at electrical supply houses.
Which is like a nylon. It's not tape like you're thinking it is. It's like a nylon fabric, almost.
Yeah, and we were kind of surrounding gardens with that. Had really good luck with some of the cornfields we tested it on. But these new batches, y'all, I'm telling you, it's even stronger than the stuff I made before. So, and it's still non-toxic. How about that? Who knew? You can make some really awesome deer repellent without being toxic. Okay, got one from Jared. Oh, my goodness. My question is, how much ground do you cover in 6 weeks with the chicken tractor on steroids? Okay, that's kind of a loaded question because it moves very, very slowly through your landscape.
Yeah.
And the issue is, when you do that, this is going to be a longer episode, y'all, because we got to get to all your questions. So we appreciate you sticking around. When it comes to the chicken tractor on steroids, that thing only really moves, I'd say, 8 to 10, maybe 12 feet every single week. It doesn't move in rapid succession. So weekly, it's going to move at the most maybe 12 to 14 feet. And then, of course, your net is going to move accordingly.
Which is really just enough for a new pile plus the like the length of the chicken tractor.
Exactly. So it's just going to, I mean, it's not a fast moving system. So if you have to, you want to get a few of them going. If you got a lot of, it's really cool when you're doing in between your rows and your orchards and stuff like that. It's a fantastic system for so many different ways, for so many different things. Also want to give a shout out to my man Bowen over there at Thunderstick Homestead. Go check him out and subscribe, y'all. My man is doing some really, really cool stuff, and he's confined to a wheelchair, but, man, he still gets it done, man.
Yeah, he does.
Okay, we got one from James. He says he lives in DeSoto, Kansas. Yeah.
I know where that is.
Yeah, absolutely. I worked down there once.
I went to school not far from there.
Yeah. He was saying, something about, well, he kind of mentioned also the pre-tribulation rapture and the UFO talk. And he was asking where was the best place to get a, not Jeff Lawton, but some other PDC. Son, you want to tell him where that is?
Nicholas Bertner has an online PDC available. I would try. I mean, there's always that option. But I would try to also find one that you can do in person. I think that might be important, especially for your first one, especially if they have demonstration areas,
which is nearly impossible to find.
Well, yeah.
That I'm aware of.
Yeah.
I mean, and that's exactly what we're building. So that's what we're working on. And also some other people up in Ohio are going to be working on that very same thing.
I think I've heard that there was a decent one up in Colorado. I can't guarantee that, but you might want to check that out.
There Colorado might be some permaculture. Around. Yeah, there might. I'm sure there's some I just don't know about. We got one from Isaac here. We're going to have to kind of kick it on up. And he's looking, he's basically in Valley Forge, PA. Yep. Been there. Was born not too far from there. Few questions regarding lands in the regions of the Appalachians. So anyway, as far as all that stuff goes, if you're anywhere, he kind of mentions Asheville. I would not move to Asheville. I'll be perfectly honest with you. Every time I go there, I come back ready to pull my hair out. But there are so many different awesome enclaves around here and a big preparedness communities all the way around.
Oh, yeah.
And we're going to start reaching out to some of those folks too. As far as near the Asheville, there I know there's a number of them near Candler and some of the other places to the west of Asheville. Yeah, there's some of those people around. And be honest with you, I haven't really reached out to them yet. We've just been so doggone busy. But yeah, there's a lot of great places around here. But Tennessee is a really awesome place if you're a patriot. Tennessee's kind of hard to beat in so many different ways.
Yeah, especially when you get to like the east side of Tennessee. There's a lot of homesteaders, a lot of just awake people, it seems like.
Very, very awake people over there. Now, we got some here, but Tennessee, man, they are overrun with patriots, and that's a good thing to see. All right, got one from Casey here. Just heard Pimpcast 67 with the questions about the old comfrey cuttings. I've grown comfrey a couple of times with some dried root cuttings. So yeah, basically he's had not trouble, but he's actually had luck when they've actually been
dried
completely.
I don't doubt it. Comfrey is a very resilient plant. Like you can get, yeah, it works in very rough conditions.
All right, got one from Casey. He was talking about the vaccine police the other day. Haven't had a chance to listen to it yet. Yeah, you'll be glad you did. So he's saying the book Turtles All the Way Down, edited by Joey O'Toole and Mary Holland, is excellent. So anybody have any anybody interested in looking at that, go ahead and check it out. Matthew, hey, Billy, I've lived in the same area as you and been experiencing some crazy weather. You're at a higher elevation. He's asking basically, do you think we'll have early planting season, and should I go ahead and plant? Man, this is like a loaded question, son. What would you say?
I think probably the most accurate source of information you're going to find on that is maybe the Farmer's Almanac.
And even that, I'm not necessarily thinking it's such so wonderful right now.
Yeah, I know, but it's the best. It seems to be the best we got.
I can't help but wonder if they're doing a rope-a-dope right now. I mean, I know that they're playing with the weather. I know some people may think I'm crazy for it, but I'm convinced of it. I mean, you can say it's anecdotal all you want, but every time I see them spraying those streaks through the sky, I know there's going to be a massive weather change.
Yep, and something's coming.
It'll be 180 degrees from what they predicted.
Yep.
So we got one from Becky. And she's saying, hey, the bone saw's got a little bit thicker. Hey, that's going to happen when it gets cold. That is not unusual at all. So Ryan is asking here about gardening over a septic leach field. Do you have any thoughts on that?
Without being there and seeing anything, I'd recommend you didn't. Unless you're using like...
Well, trees wouldn't be a bad idea.
Trees, but they might damage your leach field and stuff like that. Without being there and seeing the place, I'd recommend not doing it.
Yeah, I would overlook it as well. Don, who always sends some great stuff, he's got, check this out. There's a picture of this. yeah, how cool is that?
Well, it's a sign saying Comfrey Corner Health Food Store.
Yeah, natural foods here. He said sadly they only have one comfrey item.
Oh, man.
So it's called Comfrey Corner, but they only have one comfrey item. Bonesaw's question, they're asking about, we got Joyce here asking about raccoons and possums and asking if Bonesaw's works on it. I will tell you, it does not. I know for sure. Yeah. I don't know about possums, but I know for sure it doesn't work on raccoons. So, yeah, sorry about that. In fact, there was one story. Somebody told us that They literally saw, it was a doctor, saw a raccoon grab the comfrey that was in his windowsill and was eating it right there in the windowsill.
The comfrey? You mean the bone sauce?
The bone sauce, not the comfrey, but yeah, eating the bone sauce right there in the windowsill. All right. This one here from Allison. Comfrey has not been doing well for 2 years. I'm going to try it elsewhere, closer to the house. And of course, they're saying they notice we're all out of comfrey. Hang in there till mid to late March at this rate. I mean, it might even be in a week or two, the way this stuff is going on. And we're going to hopefully have, well, I know we're going to have a bumper crop when spring rolls around, but we're going to try to get that stuff out. Like I said, we want to get it everywhere. We got one from Jim, and he says, he was checking out the podcast about the mountain I visited in Arizona. He says, take a listen to today's Sean Ryan podcast with Dr. Stephen Greer. I respect some of the work Stephen Greer does, but I also take issue with some of his, the other way he does things is CV5, I think is what he calls it, man. I'm thinking he's calling in some evil things, but that's another program altogether. And then the last one is going to be from Dan. He says, beside the fruit trees, can I apply bone sauce to berry bushes and tree fodder? Absolutely. But put it on the woody surfaces and definitely try not to get it on the green leaves. It'll make them wilt.
Actually, no, I wouldn't put it on the tree fodder. If you're trying to turn it into tree hay, I wouldn't put it on that, especially if you're trying to feed it to sheep or cows or something like that. They might not eat it.
Well, I was talking about if you're going to put it up the trunk, because you're not going to be tearing that part off. I'm glad you pointed that out. Now, in trees and regular fruit trees and stuff, you're going to hit all the branches. That's fine. But if you're going to be doing it for tree fodder, I wouldn't go any higher than browsing height on only, and I got to make sure I point that out, only on the trunk, because if, like you said, if you go putting it out there, I don't think your sheep are going to, and definitely they're not going to want to eat that.
Yeah.
So that is definitely going to do it for us, y'all. Thank you so much for checking us out. Until next time, stay alert.
Stay alive.